I had been at Playboy nearly 4 years when Ron announced that he was considering offering his services to the FBI to crack down on drug traffic. We argued. I didn't believe it was a matter of conscience or repentance. I thought it was his newest plan to gain entrance to a professional world outside his educational and experiential reach. I mocked his idea in the most confrontational and unflattering ways. He lost his temper and he hit me. The force sent me tumbling over the coffee table. Glasses flipped and splashed on the carpet, ashtrays dumped, and I thudded against the opposite wall. Did he hit me out of frustration with me, with our situation, with his feeling of being trapped? I don't know. But I do know that even in his anger, he exercised self-control. I know that because, despite his incredible strength and skill with his fists, I lived. And because he only hit me once. It sent me reeling, but it left me relatively undamaged. He stood frozen as I got up. It was done. It was the deal breaker, and we both knew it. If I stayed, it would only get worse. If I stayed, I was going to die. Again, we pretended that everything went back to normal for us, even as I plotted my escape. I told him that I needed to go home for an extended visit. I gave my notice at Playboy, but I asked my bunny mother to keep my resignation a secret. I was scared. I knew being a bunny is not a career, it's a job. No one retires from being a bunny. You either quit or get fired for losing your bunny image, and while I wasn't in any immediate danger of losing my image, I was tired of changing my clothes. Get up, get dressed, go to work, get undressed, get into uniform, work your smiling shift, get out of uniform, get dressed, go home, get undressed, get dressed in clubbing clothes, go out, go home, get undressed, go to bed, sleep, start all over. I packed my clothes, sneaked my grandmother's dishes into the trunk of my car, and ran away. In the safety of my mother's home, surrounded by educators and professionals, my head cleared. I was normal again. I read the newspaper and wore the same outfit all day. I decided to go back to school to become a teacher. But I was married to a man who couldn't make that journey with me. I didn't know what to do about that. I was terribly conflicted. Should I try once more? Seeing my struggle, my mother said, "Robin, I think you have tried everything you can. You've suffered enough. Let him go." That settled it for me. I would shed my marriage, my husband, my connections to the past, and start over. If only it were that easy. When it became obvious to Ron that I wasn't coming back to Lake Geneva and that I wasn't inviting him to join me in Madison, we met a couple times to talk it over. And when I was with him, I wanted to try again, to forget about the divorce. Then I would walk back into my mother's house and my resolve would harden. Ron wasn't going to morph into someone he wasn't, and I couldn't fix all that was wrong with us. I had lost respect for him, leaving me only with feelings of compassion and pity. I was miserable, and he was angry. Our marriage was fatally wounded, so we let it agonizingly bleed out. I filed for divorce, and I cried. I enrolled in college at Madison, and I cried. I went out with girlfriends, and I cried. I cried because I was still married and I wanted my freedom, and I cried because I thought I should never have married Ron in the first place and I hated being so mean to him. Some days I cried because my marriage had failed and I still wanted to be with him. Insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting different results. My insanity was dating during the process of divorce to medicate the pain and loss of loneliness. The attention of lots of men supplied it a fix that made me...